9 hostages had been killed by having their throats slit, and that was the justification for the retaking of Attica, when in fact all of the hostages who died were killed by police gunfire. All right, 917-580-6021 is the number to call to pledge your support. We have about 3 minutes left before we have to give up.
They also tortured the prisoners.
Oh,
the
treatment was horrendous.
Frank Smith, who was put into this corridor and had to run down this corridor.
Oh, that was everyone had to run down this gauntlet.
Broken glass, yes. And they would get naked, and then they would get beaten as they would run down this corridor. I mean, what kind of savage activity is this that was going on in our prison system? And, you know, you wonder what's going on there now.
917-580-6021. For a pledge of $50, you can get this interview, these two interviews, actually, on a CD, which altogether it's about 50 minutes of just interview sound. We'll put some intro and stuff on it so that it puts it in context. But that for a pledge of $50 to WBAI, and you're not going to get this anyplace else. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard Malcolm Bell interviewed anyplace else. The story of the prosecution is,
I didn't even know about him,
is unique and very revealing. 917-580-6021 is the number to call. You can pledge online. You can pledge by Visa, MasterCard, American Express.
Or you can
do the
WBAI buddy.
Yes, and if you become a WBAI buddy, it's a simple, painless, and easy way to pledge your support to WBAI. It's like a monthly subscription.
Another person has come in. We're going to be kicked out shortly, so please call and support WBAI, listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio here in New York City. In the center of the FM dial, support WBAI's news, which we produce for you every evening, every weekday evening. And we have 1 minute. Can we see about three calls? We have three volunteers. First caller, please, 917-580-6021. Can we have a first caller right now? 917-580-6021.
You can be the second caller if you want to. Just imagine that there was a first caller.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where you start counting.
There's no caller. We need a caller. Can we have a caller? Support listener-sponsored WBAI in New York by calling us right now at 917-580-6021, and you'll keep those volunteers busy, you'll keep them happy, and you'll help support listener-sponsored radio, which really needs your support.
917-580-6021 is the number to call. Pledge your support. $50 basic membership. $25 is a basic membership. And for $50, you can get the Attica interviews, two interviews that were done 20 years ago, actually 21 years ago, for the 20th anniversary of the retaking of Attica, including the special prosecutor in charge of prosecuting the state police. It is now 7 o'clock and we have to move on. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for calling. Remember, you can continue to call. You can pledge online. 917-580-6021. This is Andrea Sears for the WBAI News Department with Linda Perry. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Hi, this is Barika Edwards of the Artsy Fartsy Show. And why don't you be my buddy? Become a WBAI buddy. If you become a WBAI buddy, you'll be able to stroll down that line with a tote bag. You are so cool. Not only that, you'll get a membership perks card so you can show your WBAI bling at shops and museums. You'll become a voting member of WBAI, and you help eliminate the fund drives. It's only $10 a month. Why spend that on Starbucks? Go to WBAI.org and become a WBAI buddy today.
WBAI is a niet commerciële zender, gesponsord door de luisteraars.
Ciao, sono Patrizia, e quando sono a New York, ascolto WBAI su 99.5 FM.
Nitko Jacqueline, mure katete, du mure scapio a genocidi a batruzzi, e vai mure mure na kane mu Rwanda.
Tervete,
murimo
asa
Patrizia.
Когато съм в Нью-Йорк, аз винаги слушам WBAI 99.5.
Ми номер е Елса. Анто сам пърмите ми радио синтониса на 99.5 FM WBAI.
What language do you speak when you call back home and talk to your grandmother or cousins? Join WBAI's ongoing community outreach and produce a station ID for us in your native tongue. You can contact the program coordinator, Michael G. Haskins, at wbaiannouncements@gmail.com. Let's celebrate each other.
Oh, yes, let's do that indeed. It's 2 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're listening to WBAI New York. It's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bond, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood. Bond, Billy Bond.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening, joined tonight by Mike.
Hi there.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
And from Skype land, Bernie S.
Well, Skype land via the telephone network, it's Bernie S. in Pennsylvania. Good evening.
All right. Well, now, okay, so let's update people as to how we're doing this. We still don't have phones here at the radio, traditional phones, that is. It's still madness outside. I don't know if people realize this. It's going to take forever to get this place back up and running. By this place, I mean Lower Manhattan and places adjacent to the water that turned out to be our enemy. So right now we are using the internet to connect. Why do we have the internet but we don't have phones? Does anybody understand that?
I know that I've heard you say on this radio program that landline phones are the most reliable
except
thing ever.
Except in Manhattan, okay? Now, maybe I should have put that caveat there.
Okay.
Because everywhere else I go, landlines stay up no matter what happens. But in Manhattan, yeah. Well, remember, we had the Verizon nightmares of years past. Now we no longer use them, so we don't have those nightmares. But they... I hear rumors outside that phones won't be back until May, regular phone lines, and it's just, what could possibly have happened to them that would make them that broken? You just run new wires. It won't take that long.
Apparently it does take that long. I don't know.
All right. Now
maybe the person who called last week to tell us everything Verizon's doing right can call again.
Yeah, please. Or maybe just come down here and wire us up again.
That sounds even better, yeah.
But, all right, so we have internet connectivity, and that's how we're connecting to Bernie. And we also have some way of routing calls to the tally room because, yes, this is a fundraising show tonight, and the reason we're doing that in December... it's not the winter fundraiser because that's in February. It's not the fall fundraiser because that's in October. So this is a brand new season for us. It's our emergency fundraiser because we had an emergency. A real emergency. You know, the kind that kids in kindergarten have. That kind of emergency. It's just as bad. Except imagine it on a Wall Street scale. Well, that's what happened to us. And we need to recover from that. And we weren't on last week because, well, we were just kind of caught up in other things. I was on a cross-country train, and I got to tell you, if you want to get away from it all and you want to relax and just forget about the world, taking a cross-country train, even in this country, is the most amazing way to do that. And I wholeheartedly recommend that. And I really hope they expand. They build more lines and make that something that's possible for more people.
I'm still waiting for high-speed rail.
Well, that would be a great thing, too.
I took the Acela Express a couple, about a month ago, and let me tell you, it is not a high-speed train.
No, no, it's not. In this country, we really don't have high-speed rail, but there are initiatives to get high-speed rail at speeds of up to 220 miles an hour. It can happen. And, you know, one thing I realized, I spent a lot of time in Seattle this past week, and I was there the day that that pot became legal. I was there the day gay marriage became legal. You get the sense that, you know, we are moving forward. In some ways, we are progressing. Things are getting better. And we have to sometimes stop and acknowledge that, because that gives us the strength to keep pushing to do more things. So, yeah, let's not say that it can never happen. It's not possible. Too daunting. I think it is possible. I think if we push for things like this, high-speed rail being one of my passions, but whatever else we need to make this a better place, let's say that we can do it. And for us right now, getting the phones back would be a monumental accomplishment, but also getting support from our listeners to help rebuild, because we do have things that we have to take care of here, and this whole Sandy business has really, it's been a punch in the face in many, many ways, and I don't know how long it'll be before we recover here. There might be things that that change permanently. We might never recover completely, or we might just wind up going in a different direction. We don't know. Right now, though, this is where we are. This is what we're doing. And we ask for support. Now, we have a special phone number. Write down this number. It's 917-580-6021. If you just want to call in right now and just pledge everything you can imagine to the radio station, that's the number to call. 917-580-6021, or you can stay tuned and hear what we are offering tonight, which I think is pretty cool. But first, any updates? Bernie, is there anything that you would like to tell the folks?
Well, there's big news from North Korea.
Is there?
Well,
I didn't get my call. Okay, tell me.
Well, the North Korean government has, well, that's everything going on over there, apparently successfully launched their first satellite yesterday.
Did they do it this time? Did they really do it, or did they just...
They actually did it. A year ago, they did it, and it crashed. It didn't even get very far off the ground. But this time, according to NORAD, it is in low Earth orbit. So they managed it. You know, it was a three-stage rocket. First stage, second stage fell into the ocean as they were supposed to, but the third stage made it all the way up to Earth orbit, and it's orbiting. We don't know what's in the satellite, whether there's cameras in it or... whether there's a radio transmitter in it. There probably is. A year ago, they announced they were going to be broadcasting a special song on a UHF frequency, but they haven't made any such announcement this year. So I imagine there's a lot of radio hobbyists scanning the UHF frequencies for Skyward, listening for the North Korean song coming from low Earth orbit. This is great.
Last time, I believe they said around 470 megahertz would be where they would be broadcasting from.
Yes. Yeah. But this time they haven't said a word about it, so maybe they're not doing that this time. But it's a very clever way of that the Soviets pioneered back in 1958 when they launched Sputnik, a very clever way for proving that they really did launch a satellite, because the Soviets knew that the Americans would say no, the Soviets did no such thing. They never got a satellite into orbit because we haven't been able to. So why would the Soviets be able to? But what the Soviets did is they announced over Radio Moscow a VHF radio frequency that people could tune into and listen to a steady beeping sound, back in 1958, and a lot of radio hobbyists listened to it and heard it and said, yep, I'm hearing you could calculate the Doppler shift and, you know, be sure that it was really in orbit. So if the Koreans have half a brain, they're going to use the same technique and say, yep, tune to this frequency and you can hear it for real.
Well, it's been given the satellite catalog number of 39026, and the international designator of 12-072A, for people that follow those kinds of things. These are identifications that help keep sorted the catalogs of satellites and junk in orbit around the planet. Yes, junk gets catalog numbers, too. We don't know what it's there for. We don't know what they're going to be doing, but it is up there now. It's not geostationary, is it, Bernie?
No, it's in a low Earth orbit, so it means it goes around a lot more often. It's not for it to be in geosynchronous orbit. It would have to be like about 22,300 miles up, and this is considerably lower. But still, it's a major achievement, and they managed to do what America, you know, it's like 50 years later than the Americans managed to do it. So,
well, it's priorities, you know. They got around to it.
You know, they have people to feed and things. So, anyhow, it's an achievement for anybody to pull this off.
But what I don't get is how why countries like our country object to them putting a satellite up. Like, they're not allowed to do that for some reason. It's a satellite. Everybody seems to have satellites these days. Why are the North Koreans prohibited?
Well, there's a very long list of things that the U.S. government feels it and its allies should be entitled to do, but no one else. There's nothing new there.
Well, obviously, the United States government owns space. I mean, we planted a flag in space, which I'm sure is still in space. And so
we
space
didn't plant
American...
it in space. We planted it on the moon.
No, we planted flags in actual space.
How do you plant a flag in space?
With great difficulty. But that means is that space is American territory and everyone else should do what we tell them.
Well, you know, I always ask myself, if somebody went to the moon... by the way, the flag on the moon is now white. It's a white flag. The flag is surrender. And that's the first thing the aliens will see when they come to Earth. They'll see a white flag because the sun, it bleaches the colors. Those colors do run and they fade. They really do.
We had a whole space program and we couldn't manage to make some dyes that would stick around.
Apparently not. But I'd always wondered if somebody went up there, another country went up there and knocked the flag over. Would that be cause for war? It probably would be. There's probably people in the Pentagon, you know, these square-headed people that would want to start a war over something like that.
I thought they were Pentagon-shaped, not square.
Depends who you talk to.
It's one extra side.
Well, this may not be as big a development as the North Korean satellite, but it is for me. Today was the first day that I used my MTA Easy Pay MetroCard in the subway system. And what that is actually a step into the 1990s by the Metropolitan Transportation Authority in having a card that you can use where you go on the subway or the bus or whatever, and you don't have to keep refilling it. You don't have to worry about it because it basically attaches itself to your bank account or to your credit card and siphons off the money as it sees fit. That actually sounds really horrible now that I think about it. I'm going to see how convenient it actually is. Now, it's not something cool like most cities have, like RFID. You know, you just tap it onto the turnstile as you come in, or something, you know, along the lines of a smart card. It's still the same ugly magnetic strip that all Metro cards have, and it looks just like a regular Metro card, so it doesn't even stand out in any way. But it is something where, you know, I don't have to be guessing how much money might be on this thing, because they never tell you how much money is on it. You have to go into the subway to find out, or be embarrassed on the bus when you don't have enough. But I thought this was interesting. In the letter that they send, they have this little reminder. As a reminder, do not attempt to refill or transfer value to your Easy Pay MetroCard at a vending machine or station booth, as it will damage the card. That's right. If you go to a MetroCard machine and try to put money onto your MetroCard, it will damage. Only the MTA could manage something like this, where their own machines will damage their own cards. But incompatible systems, apparently. I haven't tried this yet. I will try it at some point to see what happens, how it damages it exactly.
So I have had one of these things for a number of years, and I'm not willing to risk damaging it.
Oh, you've had it for a number of years.
Yeah.
Oh, how sophisticated. Wow, how about that? I'm only entering...
It's very handy.
Uh-huh.
You should get one.
I have one now, but you didn't tell anybody about it.
I told you.
Not on the air. That's listen when I'm not on the air. Mm.
Well, I'm as an early adopter, Mike, is it true that you have to take your MetroCard to Canada to get it refilled? Or?
No.
Okay.
It is not true.
Was that a jab at the smart car?
Because in fact, the thing about it is you don't have to take it anywhere to get refilled. It refills itself automatically. The MTA just siphons money whenever it feels like it without consulting with you. It's great.
Oh, but you forgot one other thing that the MTA does now with this amazing Easy Pay MetroCard. It also has online your movements, so you can go online and see where you have been, or see whoever is using your card where they have been.
Yeah, you can now get the same level of access to your own data as the New York Police Department can.
Well, I think they can get more than that. They can listen to your phone calls and plant microphones in various places, but it's a start.
I already listen to my own phone calls.
Yeah, but, they do more, believe me. They do a lot more. So you can go online and see. Now, it's not like London. London is a little bit more complete because you have to hold your card, or swipe your card when you leave the system as well. So they can tell where you got on and where you got off. In New York, at least right now, all they can tell is that you've gotten on at a particular point. So I'm going to log in, see where I've been, and see where I'm going, and hopefully that'll be educational.
Now, I should mention that Bernie should sound a lot better all of a sudden.
Why would he sound better?
I've switched to a direct Skype-to-Skype connection.
Okay, hold on. So everybody stop. Now, hold on. First of all, Rob, how did you know, sitting over there on the other side of the room, that Bernie was suddenly going to sound better? And what exactly happened here?
Because I facilitated this this turn of events. What we did was, before Bernie had called into our phone number that we have forwarding to our Skype, which goes through the regular phone system and therefore still sounds like a phone, whereas now Bernie is connected via his own Skype account to the studio Skype account, and the Skype compression, the Skype quality is actually superior to the phone line.
Well, that's good. That's amazing. Bernie, you sound great.
Why, thank you.
A little distorted, maybe, and you're breathing a bit heavily into the whatever it is you're breathing into.
I'll try to stop the heavy breathing.
Yeah, please stop that. Now, unfortunately, though, we're not going to be hearing you much longer because we're going to be playing some clips. It's fortunate for the listeners. They're going to love this, but as far as us being live this week, it's going to be rather limited. But I do want to go into one story before we venture into that territory, because it's very important, and that, of course, is the Bradley Manning story, which we really haven't covered. He took the stand at the hearing where he was accused of leaking material to WikiLeaks. According to this Los Angeles Times article, he swiveled in the witness chair, smiling, occasionally talking over his lawyer. Talking over his lawyer? Does that mean interrupting him or talking over to his? I don't know. It's LA Times. In his army dress blue uniform, he appeared even younger than his 24 years. It was difficult to reconcile the bespectacled Manning's relaxed, almost chatty demeanor with the vast charges against him perpetrating one of the biggest leaks of classified material in U.S. history. He's accused of providing the anti-secrecy internet group WikiLeaks with hundreds of thousands of U.S. diplomatic cables and classified war logs from Afghanistan and Iraq while based in Baghdad as a military intelligence analyst in 2009 and 2010. If convicted, he could face life in prison. Well, I got to say, he looks good. I see pictures of him. He looks, you know, I do see him smiling. I do see, you know, he doesn't look completely shattered and defeated. And that's certainly a good thing to see. Where this goes, how harshly he's going to be treated, what he's going to be accused of, that remains to be seen. But it's good to finally have this out in the open to some degree anyway.
Yeah, I was very pleased to see him looking so good, because given what the little that we've heard of his conditions over there, where he's been kept, I had wondered if maybe they had gone further toward breaking him down a bit, which is obviously I think what they want to do. But he seems like he's still doing all right. And it's been, how long has it been now since he was hauled off?
2010. Thank you, Bernie.
2010.
It's about almost 3 years.
Yeah, 2-3 years, and in solitary has he been
most of the time.
Most of the time, so yeah, that's rough for anybody.
And tortured, and it is torture when you put somebody in solitary confinement and you make them respond to you every 5 minutes. This is how they mess with you. They say, "Well, he's on suicide watch. We have to make sure he's not killing himself. So we're going to demand that he answer us every 5 minutes around the clock." And of course, you don't get any sleep when somebody demands that of you. Things like that.
I mean, the point of this hearing, as I understand it, was to discuss his detention conditions, and his lawyer, David Coombs, had been filing a motion to argue that his pretrial confinement conditions were so bad that the charges must be dismissed. And I don't think that motion has been ruled on yet, but I have a guess how that's going to go.
Yeah, we all know that's not going to go anywhere. But
what's interesting also is that Bradley Manning has agreed to plead guilty to certain charges, and this is different. Usually, when that happens, there's a sort of plea bargain with the prosecution, and Bradley Manning has been willing to say, "Nope, I did it, no conditions."
That's
an interesting tactic. I'm not sure.
It's called honesty and integrity. You don't see it often in court, but if he did in fact do it, he should be proud of what he did. And you know, certainly, with the collateral murder video, if he was responsible for leaking that, that is something that I think they should build statues to him about, because we need to know about that. And certainly, so many of the other things that came about that did everything from topple governments to empower people in various ways. Disclosure very often is the right way to go, and there are just way too many secrets, as we all know.
Yeah, and the New York Times, actually, it's kind of funny. One of their own bloggers has taken the New York Times to task. I cannot remember the individual's name, but
it's not a blogger; it's the public editor.
The public editor had done so in a blog post, taken the paper to task for failing to cover any important aspect of Manning's condition or the Manning situation just in general. Whereas the New York Times, for those who might not know, were the ones that published the Pentagon Papers and that whole thing. So they've been strangely quiet about this whole affair.
And they published the WikiLeaks disclosures as well.
Yeah, they published the WikiLeaks. They published journalism based on the leaked material, but they've been keeping shtum about the whole Manning thing.
All right, unfortunately, that is pretty much all we have time to discuss tonight about this. Next week, of course, we'll be doing a normal show, hopefully. But right now, we're going to go into some recorded audio, and this is part of our premium package for tonight, what we're offering for those of you that step up and support WBAI in our emergency fund drive. This is different than our regularly scheduled fund drives. This is for our Sandy recovery needs. Our special phone number, because our other phone number is somewhere out in the middle of the ocean right now, we have this special number that works right now, and hopefully we'll get through to everybody who calls in. I think there's a maximum capacity of 4. That's what I was told, but who knows? If you don't get through, keep trying. The number is 917-580-6021. 917-580-6021. Doesn't spell anything, but it's the way to reach us right now. And for a pledge of $125, you will get a 23-DVD collection of Off the Hook from the beginning until the end of this year. In fact, shows that have not yet happened will be included because this will be sent out early next year. It will include everything. So if you've been following the history of Off the Hook and through it, the history of WBAI, this is the collection for you because so much has happened on these airwaves during this hour, this 1 hour a week that we have. We've captured so much, and it's really, you kind of have to sort of hear it the way we're going to present it right now to realize how much has happened in that period of time. And this is, of course, only a small, tiny fraction of what has happened, what we have covered. The many phone calls that we have gotten, the many phone calls we have made, the news items that we've broken, the things we've investigated, the trouble we've started, and things that step outside our little sphere of influence, things like when Amy Goodman was being attacked by police in Seattle at the WTO, when the cops were in the radio station, when we were in the middle of our own little coup here. So many things have taken place in that one window. And what we're going to do now is present a bit of a collage of some of the highlights from the beginning into periods of time that come closer to the present. There's just no way we can present all of this in such a short amount of time. But what we do want to do is ask people to call in while we are playing this and pledge $125 for all of the audio. They will come on 23 different DVDs that you can play in your computer. You can copy them freely. You can do all kinds of things with them. They're full FM quality sound, not like what's on the website. So this is the way to get everything. And we're offering that only tonight at 917-580-6021. Let's go back to the beginning.
The number you have reached, 1, has been changed. The new number is 2. Please make a note of it.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
This is Off the Hook, the telephone program, a presentation of WBAI. I'm your host, Emmanuel Goldstein.
And you are listening to WBAI in New York. It's 7:32 time now for a special presentation, Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. Good evening. This is Emmanuel Goldstein, and the program is Off the Hook, dedicated to the telecommunications revolution, computer hackers, phone freaks, and all those amazing things that you probably don't understand.
So my friend came over and he logged on to the computer on the other end. He logged on and we spent a pretty good deal of time looking at the file structure of the computer on the other end and using a few of the functions to see who else was online and looking at some of the program names that were on the system. That's pretty much all we did, altering nothing, and then we left. We logged off of the system.
Well, enough serious business here. I have figured out a way to actually hack out the phone system here and get through to an AT&T operator, which has been made very difficult. Now, I'm sorry, but there are people calling on the unauthorized lines, and they're tying up the outgoing lines, and I just can't allow that. So I'm going to have to, unfortunately, pick up someone and then hang them up, and I don't like doing that. If someone wants to hang up on that line voluntarily, we can save you the embarrassment of actually being hung up upon here on WBAI. But I am going to have to do that. That's the only way I can get through. It's just one of these essential things. Okay, well, since no one has opted to do that, I'm afraid I must get violent and actually knock somebody off. There, I've done it. What, they're back? No, they're gone. Okay. One moment, please, while we... now they're back. This is ridiculous, folks. This is someone's got to hang up here because I can't make an outgoing call unless I have a free line here. And someone seems to have given out all the secret numbers. And now there's... thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sir, or ma'am, or whatever that was. Now... let me try to make an outgoing call here. And I'm going to get an AT&T operator, but I'll have to turn my microphone off in order to do it in the proper way.
Thank you.
Okay. We're on our way.
AT&T.
Hi, is this the AT&T operator? Oh, great. I'm trying to get through to a number here, and I'm having a lot of trouble. I was trying to make a collect call. My name is Emmanuel, and I don't understand what's happening at the other end. I'm getting some strange recording. I can't really make it out. Can you help me?
Where are you calling to?
Okay, it's to Dallas, Texas. It's area code 214, and the phone number is 951-1797.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. The number you have called or the number you are calling from is not a working number.
Okay.
I don't understand what she means by that.
214-951-1797.
Yeah, she says the number I'm calling from isn't a working number. I mean, I never heard that phrase before.
AT&T Dallas.
Yes, operator. New York is calling. Would you please assist me ringing a number in Dallas?
Okay.
Okay, I have 214-951-1797. But we dialed the number. Apparently, the recording comes back and tells us that we cannot reach the number because the number we're calling from is not a working number.
Okay, just a moment, operator.
Thank you. Okay, hold on a second.
Okay, I paid my bill. I don't know. Would that have anything to do with it?
No, because if you didn't pay your bill, you wouldn't have been able to get me.
Ah, okay. Actually, I had to go through quite a bit to get you in the first place.
I'm sorry. The number you have called or the number you are calling from is not a working number.
Operator?
Yeah?
I'm getting that same thing. Evidently, I guess it's somebody hasn't paid their bill.
Well, it hasn't been me. I mean, I pay my bill every month.
Maybe it's the one that you're calling from.
No, that couldn't be. That couldn't be. Well, how would a recording in Dallas know that I haven't paid my bill? That doesn't seem to make sense, you know?
All kind of ways.
Is there some way that you can...
Evidently, the number, it must be the number that you're calling into.
please pledge your support. Pledge whatever you can. If you can pledge $25, thank you so much. You still become a member of WBAI. We need your help. And now we're going to go on to Emmanuel Goldstein, The Fifth Corner, his special on computer hackers and the First Amendment. Thanks so much. Have a good evening. I'm Amy Goodman, and keep calling in.
Thanks very much, Amy. And this is The Fifth Corner. It is very important that we hear from you at this point. And you're tuned in to The Fifth Corner here on WBAI in New York. And we have something very special for you tonight. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Do you know what that is? That's the First Amendment, folks. That's the whole thing. Very simple, very short, and very much in danger. And you'll find out how. With regards to computer hackers, the Secret Service, the First Amendment, and how it's all going to affect you. Tune in.
Is all over town, yeah.
And you're listening to some clips from Off the Hook and other programs that we did here in WBAI, including this one, The Fifth Corner, having to do with computer hackers, technology, freedom of speech, that kind of thing. It's all yours, all 23 DVDs, chock full of audio for a pledge of $125. Every show we have done in full FM quality, including this one. Yes. Hello to those of you who pledged. You're hearing me now talking about the premium that you're listening to because it'll be sent out early next year. The phone number is 917-580-6021. Please call that number now and participate. Become part of history. Learn something about what's been going on. Everything from weird phone calls to operators back in the 1980s and 1990s up till today and the various crises that we've been facing. I think it's, I can listen to this all day.
Yeah, that's from when, 1988. So that's basically 24 years worth of this radio show.
This one might be 1990, actually.
Okay, so still over 20 years worth of material from this radio show, and that can be all yours just for this one remaining 27 minutes we have in this hour. For supporting WBAI and supporting the show, call 917-580-6021.
917-580-6021. Bernie, any words from you?
Yeah, I mean, there were some great clips, but frankly, I don't think it does justice to this nearly quarter century of weekly radio, weekly live radio, covering some really important stories about how technology, communications technology, has affected society and the laws that regulate it and the shenanigans going on with the government pertaining to these technologies and what people are doing with them. This is really an amazing archive. Nearly a quarter century of live weekly 1 hour radio programs.
Sometimes more.
On a set of 23 DVDs. It's a great package, and it's a station as we're supporting too, 917-580-6021. You can support this radio station, and this is a heck of a thank you gift.
All right, yeah, and sometimes the shows are long shows, sometimes they're specials, all kinds of interesting things, all kinds of history. Let's go back and listen to some more of Off the Hook over the years. 23 DVDs, 917-580-6021. Call now.
You've all seen the headlines. You've all seen the news. It's a frightening situation, folks. Frightening situation. 14 state raid breaks hacking rings. Teenagers arrested for hacking crimes. For breaking into emergency 911 systems, newsletters shut down, people's homes raided in the middle, well, early morning anyway. At times you don't want to be raided, let's put it that way. There's a lot going on throughout the country, and most of it is completely unknown to most of us because there's no headlines in it. You see the headlines, but you don't get the story. Tonight we're going to attempt to bring you the story, and we have a couple of guests that will attempt to clear things up because they're very much involved in all of this. And what is it that we're talking about? Well, possibly the best way to introduce you to the subject, if you're not aware of what's been happening over the last few months, the best way is to look at the newest edition of the Computer Hacker Newsletter called 2600. There's a story in the spring issue, which is going to be released tomorrow. And if you want to subscribe to this magazine, we're going to be offering a special deal for people that want to support this radio station a little bit later on, so keep tuned in for that. From the spring edition of 2600 Magazine, the Hacker Quarterly, we have an article entitled For Your Protection. And, folks, it bears listening to, because you may not be a computer hacker, you may not be a technological enthusiast, you may not even care, but I can guarantee you, at some point, what happens to these people will rub off on you. Make no mistake about that. All right. A year ago, we told the stories of Kevin Mitnick and Herbert Zinn, two hackers who had been sent to prison. It was then, and still is today, a very disturbing chain of events. Mischief makers and explorers imprisoned for playing with the wrong toys and for asking too many questions. And we said at the time that it was important for all hackers to stand up to such gross injustices. After all, they couldn't lock us all up. Well, it now appears that such an endeavor may indeed be on the agendas of some very powerful U.S. governmental agencies. And even more frightening is the realization that these agencies don't particularly care who or what gets swept up along with the hackers. As long as all of the hackers get swept up. So, what, you may ask, is this program all about? Well, we come here and we discuss technology. Technology gone astray. Technology run amok. Technology perhaps turning upon its masters. The kind of thing that happens all the time, and the kind of thing that computer hackers, among many others, have a handle on. That's why there's much we can learn through the world of hacking, through the world of telephone freaks, and just general education, something that there is certainly a lack of these days. Technology-wise, we can't figure out how to make phone calls. We can't figure out how to get our own credit reports. We don't know what's in computer files about us. We know very little.
Welcome to NCI Friends and Family Circle Update Line. Please enter your telephone number beginning with your area code.
Now, I happen to know somebody that has this particular service, that has MCI as their long-distance carrier. So I'm going to enter their phone number now.
Thank you. One moment, please, while we access your account.
No problem.
To verify your MCI account, please enter your 5-digit zip code.
Well, there's no way I could get into this, is there? I have to know the person's zip code. Well, let me take a wild random guess, since I happen to know the person and I know the phone number. Getting the zip code should not really be that hard, should it?
Congratulations, and thank you for being one of our valued friends and family customers. Your calling circle consists of 4 members and 2 nominees. If you would like to inquire about a specific member or nominee to your calling circle, press 1. To hear the status of each person in your calling circle, press 2.
Let's hear status on everybody.
We will first list your friends and family circle nominees who are not currently active members of your calling circle. If at any time you wish to interrupt this list, press 9. To speak with an MCI customer service representative, press 0. Your wife at 212-324-1 was an active member of your calling circle but recently changed from MCI. Have they moved? If so, please press 0 for an MCI representative to update their status.
By the way, we're censoring the some of the phone numbers, so you won't hear the entire
business
phone number.
Business associate at 212-324-0 was an active member of your calling circle, but recently changed from MCI.
Now, you've been blind all your life, is that correct?
Yeah, I like to say no, not yet, but yeah, I was born totally blind. Me and my sister were born totally blind.
Really? Now, has that, do you think that's added to your abilities to listen to phone sounds like this?
It may have. I've met some sighted people that were really good at listening, like I can tell frequencies to within about 1% on the cycles per second. For instance, 2600 is... That's a tone that originally has been the backbone of controlling the off-hook and on-hooks on long-distance circuits. The way you could even dial with that a number of years ago. I whistled back in the 50s and 60s.
You were known as the whistler, weren't you?
Yeah, and that's using 2600, so that's how, in case... Maybe everybody knows, but that's how the name 2600 came out for the magazine.
That's correct. Now, could you give us sort of a step-by-step, no pun intended, view of how you would use the 2600 hertz tone? You'd get a dial tone. What would you do back then?
Okay, I will simulate when I'll dial a step-by-step. Speaking of step-by-step, I will actually dial on the regular phone here a step-by-step exchange in a small town about 100 miles from here. And it'll get a fast busy, and I'll cut the fast busy off strictly by whistling.
So you can actually whistle pulses as well?
Yeah, like two pulses for two and nine pulses for nine. So in other words, when the rotary dial had to be transmitted over long-distance circuits, it was transmitted with the on and off pulses of 2600 instead of clicks. So 2600 was extremely important to, well, it still is in a lot of cases, but less and less. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
Speaking with Joy Bubbles, formerly known as High Rise Joe.
Okay, now I've got the reorder getting ready to go through.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check.
So I whistle 2600, which cut that recording off.
Okay.
Now I'll just dial a 1 just to make things simple, and that's a vacant level in that exchange, so we should get that recording again.
We're sorry. Your call can dialed. Please and dial again.
So that cut it back off.
Amazing.
I should start off with a somewhat interesting story in brief, and that's that on December 6th, 1991, I was awoken at about 11 o'clock in the morning by two men pointing automatic pistols at my head, claiming to be FBI agents. And they were rather jumpy at that. And once they had secured the fact that I didn't have any weapons on me, I don't know how many people sleep with weapons, but they threw me a pair of jeans and escorted me downstairs. And basically, I was confined to my couch for a period of about 3 hours while they proceeded to clear me out of all my valuable possessions. And no reason was ever given of why they were there and what I was accused of doing.
Well, someone's certainly broken the law in the last couple of months. The Michelangelo virus is spreading wildly all over the place. And on March 6th, which more people know now than ever before, March 6th is Michelangelo's birthday. And wouldn't he be proud?
Thank you for calling Michigan Bell's Automated CNA Bureau. The system is restricted to authorized personnel only. By using your touch tone telephone, please enter your ID number.
I was bothered by the fact that you so sort of nonchalantly mentioned in the book how one day a hacker will kill someone, and not those exact words.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was a rather dangerous thing to put in a book such as that, especially when you have people reading the book who simply don't know any better and how seriously to take the subject matter of the book.
Uh-huh. Well, as I recall, that is in the Gail Thackeray section.
Right. Okay.
Well, I was actually, I didn't quote it directly. Those remarks are to be more or less attributed to Ms. Thackeray's point of view.
Yeah.
Although I don't question that a hacker will in fact someday kill someone.
You do think that's going to happen somehow?
I don't see how anybody can avoid it. I mean, you know, machines crash. I mean, anybody who reads Risk's Digest. Right? I mean, computers have already killed people on many occasions.
Mm-hmm.
This 911 system going down, you know, somebody in Toronto could have died. I suppose you could claim that it was this rascal's fault one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if people died during the AT&T crash.
You know, considering I'm one of the older hackers, phone freaks, I should say, I do want to discourage people from hacking and phone freaking. they're playing for keeps now.
Mm-hmm. You mean the government is playing for keeps?
Indeed.
Everything is malfunctioning. All around us, everything is malfunctioning. It's truly incredible. We're going to be talking tonight about the technical aspects of the explosion downtown. What happened over the airwaves, particularly? How many of you were glued to the TV sets watching as things happened? Some things went wrong. Some misinformation was spread out. Also, we'll be talking about the telephone system, how that survived and how it didn't survive, what kind of effect it has on computer systems, and other things along those lines.
AT&T has been disconnected. No further information is available about AT&T. Please check the number and dial again. Thank you for using NCI.
Well, Mike, let me ask you a question, which I'm sure is on the minds of some people. What do you do about criminals? How do you wiretap those people that should be wiretapped, the terrorists?
Well, let me point out, by the way, that criminals who are smart enough to use encryption ought to be smart enough to know not to use a clipper chip, because that is the one form of encryption that the government is guaranteed to have the keys to. And when you ask the government about this, they say, well, we recognize that we're only going to capture stupid criminals. And I keep thinking, well, you know, if you're only going to capture stupid criminals, you know, you can capture stupid criminals now. That's not a particularly deep problem.
Now, as far as various things that have happened in the hacker world, we've brought you various things in the past, indictments, trials, prison terms, things like that. We've also brought you happier occasions from foreign lands, such as the Galactic Hacker Party and Hackers at the End of the Universe and various things like that. But, you know, the happy times have never really come to us here in this particular town. That's going to change. This summer, there's going to be a, I guess you'd call it a celebration of the hacker world. It'll be the 10th anniversary of 2600 Magazine and a coming together of minds from both the United States and various countries in Europe, Asia, all over the world. And we're going to have the very first American hacker conference of this sort. There are many hacker conferences such as SummerCon, HoHoCon, DefCon, various things like that. But this is going to be different. This is going to be something right smack in the middle of New York City. And we will have a network set up similar to what we have here. We're going to have speakers coming in from all around, speaking on various topics. And it will be taking place August 13th and 14th. We're calling it Hackers on Planet Earth.
Yes, we're into day 22 of the quest for ISDN. Now, if you recall, we started this almost a month ago. Well, 22 days ago, I guess. Fiber Optic and myself decided to go out and get us an ISDN line. Actually, two ISDN lines. For the benefit of people that might just be tuning in for the first time. ISDN line, Fiber.
ISDN line.
Yeah, what's so great about it? Why do we need one of these things?
Because we want more bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. To do more than one thing at a time.
Sure, exactly. Okay. We want to be able to connect to multiple things at once. We want to do voice and data and video all at the same time.
Right, and that's what the 90s is supposed to be all about. That's what the future of technology is supposed to be all about. Hang on, let's see if this is Bernie. Yes.
This is Locktel. You have a collect call from
Bernie S.
To accept the call, please dial 9 now. If you do not want to accept this call, hang up now.
Can you hit a 9, Fiber?
Sure.
Go ahead. You are now connected.
Bernie S., are you there?
Hello, Emmanuel.
Okay, we got Fiber on the line, too. I just got back from overseas, and I was talking about the various cameras and things that they have over there. I'll get back to that story in a minute, but I want to update people with you.
They have a lot of cameras over here, too.
Well, you're in a federal prison. You know? That's the whole country over there. You know, they have
They have speed cameras that take your picture as you speed. They have cameras that are hidden in light fixtures. You know, street lights have cameras in them, so you can't see them.
They have cameras hidden in birdhouses here.
Well, yeah, I know about that. Well, now, update us on what's going on with you, because I've been out of touch for a few weeks myself, so update
us. I've been in prison now for close to 4 months now. My trial date is set for July 31st, and for people who haven't heard about this story before, the two charges, federal charges against me, which are both felonies, are possession of hardware or software for the modification of telecommunications instruments for the unauthorized use of telecommunications services, which in plain English means I have had a computer program on a laptop computer that allegedly allows someone to program a cellular telephone to change its telephone number and its serial number.
Okay.
The other thing I'm charged with is possessing a modified touch-tone dialer. The government is not alleging that I did anything with either of these things, a dialer or program. They're just alleging that I possess them, and that's enough to coordinate the federal government to warrant a maximum 15-year prison term on each count.
Do you think the first call will be Rebel again?
I hope not.
It probably will be, because he always manages to be the first call. So let's see if he's going to be the first call this time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, imaginable.
I don't believe it. How does he do it? How do you do this? For one thing, the central office times out after a certain amount of time, so you would have to have been hung up on if you were calling all this time. I don't know how you do it.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't understand. I think he's like sitting out in the hallway somehow, and he's just taking over the phone line.
Well, I'm going to give out my new email address.
You're going to give out your email address over the radio.
While people are getting their pens and papers out, and...
Yeah, I'm sure there's a mad rush to stationery stores right now, people that want your address.
There's one other thing to say, going back to PGP phone, that is that there is going to be an internet function added to that. It seems like that, you know, the iPhone and some other products that have come out that allow voice-to-voice communications through the internet, that too will be able to be fully encrypted and thereby completely safe from prying ears, eyes, and
sniffers. I saw an advertisement on television today. I didn't get a chance to write down the number, but it was something called Digiphone. And their slogan was, never pay long-distance rates again. Flat rate, anywhere in the country, as long as you want.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think long-distance as an industry is dead.
Yeah.
Okay?
I think we're seeing a lot of indications of that with things like iPhone and with things like the new 9X rate structure. I think with a lot of things are changing.
Can we get an update on that?
Radio Shack.
Yeah, hi. You got DVDs.
Excuse me?
You got DVDs.
DVDs?
Yeah.
For what?
Either for my video recorder or for my CD player. Or for my computer,
actually. DVDs?
Yeah. Radio Shack. Oh, who else?
What is it, cable? Is it a system?
Well, it's the standard. It's, you know, that's how you watch videos and things.
DVD?
Yeah, digital versatile disc.
No.
You know when you'll be having them?
No, we don't have that.
Will you be getting it soon?
No.
You won't. Okay, thank you very much.
You're quite welcome.
All right. Radio Shack there will not be getting DVDs anytime soon, according to that spokesperson.
And a very good evening to everybody. This is Off the Hook. And we're broadcasting live over the radio and over the internet. Hello to all you people all around the world.
Oh, yes. Hello, indeed. That was our first show that we ever broadcast on the internet, and that was a big milestone. So many milestones there. Wow. I could listen to this for hours and hours. You could listen to it for days and days, weeks, months, if you pledge now to 917-580-6021. Get the entire package of every program we have ever done since 1988. 23 DVDs, all filled with MP3 files, and all broadcast quality. It's a real opportunity to learn so much about technology, history, radio, society in general. Bernie, what do you think of all that?
This is amazing, but you're right. This is like over a thousand. This is over 1,000 hours of Off the Hook. Everything conceivable related to. We reported on so many stories, we couldn't possibly remember them all. That's why we had to archive this stuff. You just touched on some of the more humorous stuff, but there's some really serious stories that we've covered over the past nearly quarter century. And I think listeners, if they want to support this station and get this great gift, should call area code 917-580-6021. Get the 23-disc DVD-ROM set and listen to the complete archive of Off the Hook. It's great, great audio.
Yeah, and, you know, I wish we could play more of it. I wish we could just listen to this all night long, but you can. You've got that power. You've got that ability. But you got to call because we're on our way out of here now. We have to be out of here in a couple of minutes. Personal Computer Show is coming up next. 917-580-6021 for a pledge of $125. You will get every single show, including the one you're listening to right now, including every show up until the end of this year, from 1988 until the end of 2012. And that might be the end of the world, so that might be everything. 917-580-6021. And, of course, you can write to us, OTH at 2600.com. We love to hear from our listeners. Next week, we'll be back with all kinds of original content and I guess the closest thing to our normal show that we've done in quite a while. So we'll see you then. Once again, that phone number, 917-580-6021. Have a good night.
To give a big shout out to the volunteers that are in the room taking your phone calls when you call. Yes, and that phone number is 917-580-6021. Hey, you guys back there. Hey, you're doing a great job. Okay, now it is 12-12-2012. So, you dodecophiles, enjoy yourselves and all those other people that just love 12. It's 8 o'clock here, and it's WBAI New York 99.5 FM, also streaming on the web at WBAI.org. And this is the Personal Computer Show, and that means if you want to see it on the web, you go to PCRadioshow.org. And you know what? It's time to start the shoe. got Hank here. We got Joe here. We got David here. Everybody's here. Holiday show.
And this is Joe King. Welcome to the Personal Computer Show here at WBAI. On my right is Hank Key. Always on my right. On my left is David Perry. Hello, David.
Hi, how y'all doing?
We're doing fine. We're recovering slowly, ever so slowly, from Sandy.
It's
I had
cold.
A puppy once named Sandy. It wasn't half as malicious as this one. Tonight we're going to have a very, very interesting show. Actually, it's going to break up into a couple of parts. You know, WBAI is still trying to recover from the storm they called Sandy, the superstorm. And so there's still a little bit of fundraising going on, and you'll hear about that later on in the show, maybe at the half-hour break. But Hank has put together some premiums for you, toolkits and bypass things and Trinity things and, oh, all sorts of things to entice you to pledge. But that's later on in the show. And we're going to also have, in the first part of the show, some absolutely fascinating things. For example, Stevie, did you know that you could get a perfectly good computer that could fit into a pack of cigarettes and cost you $25?
No, I didn't know that. I thought it was $26.
No, you did not know it was $26. This is a thing called Raspberry Pi, and it's really... it was developed over in England, and it's really going like hotcakes. It's growing... We'll hear more about that from Hank. David is going to be talking to us a little bit later about a thing that he knows more about than he wishes he did, which was the pay or die ransomware. I understand that he did not die, so maybe he did pay. We'll find out more about that a little bit later. And
millions for defense, but not one red cent for tribute.
Yes, one of the things that we do want to mention to everyone at the top of the show is that last week when we were on for about 2 hours. Unfortunately, the transmitter at the Empire State Building wasn't working. We weren't aware of it. And so a good chunk of the show was missing. And some people were complaining. They heard part of it, and they said, what was it, a tease? You had the transmitter turned off? What we did was we did have the air check for that 2 hours, and I put it together, and it's on the archives of WBAI, as well as pcradioshow.org, so you can listen to it.
There were some really good things in that show as well. Let me just point out that Michael did a wonderful story on the Chromebook, and Joanne Witt did a very fine piece of reviewing on two pieces of hardware. Hank?
Well, one of the items was the USB 3.0 ports, the extender ports, and I found that'd be interesting. And the other one was about a webcam.
So, you might want to download. It's a fairly big download because it was a two-hour show, but there was some really good things happening in it. Of course, we weren't supposed to be on for the 2 hours last week, but we were on because we're not going to be on this week, and then I found out that wasn't true either. We are on this week. So if you are listening, please kindly open your window, go out onto the fire escape, and scream at the top of your lungs to all your friends and neighbors that the Personal Computer Show is on WBAI tonight.
Yes, and you know, one of the things that, although Stevie thinks I was kidding around when I said you can get a quote-unquote a computer for $25.
That would fit into his pocket.
I want to hear all about it.
You will, okay?
Okay, actually, you're going to hear about it sooner rather than later, because I promised a few people that would be the top story tonight. So, Hank, I'm going to ask you a real simple question. I know from what I've read that the name of this project is Raspberry, as in those little red berries that we all pay too much for, and pie, but not pie that you eat, pie that's 3.14. Incidentally, did you read that there's a really hot, hot movie called The Life of Pi, which is not raspberry, just pie? So, Hank, why are they calling it Raspberry Pi?
I have no idea, but actually, if you think about pi, is the length of a circle.
It's the, no, 2 pi r is the diameter.
3 pi r is how you determine I'm sorry, it's a circumference.
Circumference,
okay.
Actually, I don't think a circle can have... Steve, can it have a length?
A circle?
No, it can't have a length. It can have a circumference.
Well, wait, it has the length, but that's why it's from the diameter of the center to the edge of the circle, and then the number.
Welcome to the mathematics show here on WBAI. However, I'm going to say that the Raspberry Pi, whoever gave it the name, I think one of the reasons they gave it the name is so that we would keep talking about it. But Hank was the first one that I know of who did more than just read about it. He went out and got it and experimented with it and has played with it. And what he said to me was that really it offers tinkers and hackers a lot of fun with it, but it was really developed as a teaching element. Is that right, Hank?
Yes. Well, first of all, this whole thing started back in 2006, 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And it was a bunch of teachers in England. And what they wanted to do was come up with a computer that was cheap enough to inspire children so that they could play around with it.
Wait a minute, Hank. What is a child by their definition? I mean, because a child can be 6 years old or 16 years old.
Well, actually, by their definition, anyone who is in school learning, because you'll find that in the world that we live in, not every school kid has access to a computer. So they basically were thinking about, you know, if you don't have a computer, how do we make it available to you? And how do we make it so that it's not like the MIT project with Negroponte, where you have a computer, but, you know, it doesn't really do too much. What they strove to do was that they're going to give you a computer, and I'm going to explain what they mean by computer, that can access the internet, and you can develop programs that they have a programming language for it, and the capability of hooking up controller units to it, so you can have robotics.
Well,
so,
Hank, you just threw out by way of description that it's not like Negroponte's product or project, which was one computer per child.
Right.
That was the title of it. But that one computer cost several hundreds of dollars, up to $600-$700.
Well, let me explain that. When I first heard about this, it was in the tail end of last year, beginning of this year, and they were talking about a computer for $25. That does pique your interest when someone says $25, brand new. And let me just go back into the background of it. The scientists, it's about 3-4 people got together, and 6 years ago they developed what is called, they came up with a circuit board. On the circuit board they put a computer on the computer they have many functions on it, and the whole idea was to come up with something at very low cost. And it was a size, the circuit board, by the way, does fit into a pack of cigarettes, and it's a little misleading. I have to tell you that it's a little the hype there is that when they say $25, that's for the unit that they have yet to deliver. The unit that they have been delivering is $35, but you have to add some of your own components to it. But the basic system comes with, obviously, a computer chip that has built-in memory. There's graphics on it. It has, let me talk about the Model B unit, which is the one I'm using, all right? Has an Ethernet port, so you can go out to the World Wide Web. Has two USB ports. It has a HDMI connector to go to your TV set. So obviously this was meant to, you know, for low cost, if you happen to have a modern TV, and I use the word modern because not my old TV doesn't have an HDMI, you can connect to it. And but if you have an old TV, they also make available an RCA phono jack, a composite signal, so you can send your video out to it. And they also have a they call a card reader, but it's really an SD card reader. So you have an SD chip you could put in your storage. That's what they use for storage. And this whole thing is powered by, guess what, a cell phone charger.
That is an AC adapter that would plug in to charge up your cell phone.
DC adapter. AC adapter, right? Okay. And the thing is that. But you have to go get your own keyboard because it doesn't come with a keyboard. And you can pick up a cheap keyboard from, you know, I don't want to mention the names, but, you know, there's a place on Long Island. There's a place on 41st Street and 5th Avenue. You can pick up a keyboard for less than $10. You can pick up a mouse for less than $10. Or if you happen to have people that are using cordless stuff, you say, listen, give me your old equipment. And for power supply, I did price it out. It's like $3. Shipping is $6. What you do is find out those who are renewing their service and getting a new phone. Tell you what, I'll take care of the getting rid of the phone for you. You just take the charger, make sure it's a micro USB connector on it.
Yeah, you do want to be careful because they have different types of ends on chargers. But most of the phones that you would have gotten over the last 3 or 4 years have the micro USB, not the mini USB.
And you, what you need is a SD chip of at least 2 gigabytes.
I don't know where you can get that, Hank.
So you get a 4 gigabyte, because I have a hard time buying anything less than 4 gigabytes. Now, it's about $4.
Now, yeah, I was going to say, nowadays it's running about $1 a gigabyte for mm-hmm. these little chips that go into cameras and cell phones.
Now, so that's all you need to have a fully functional computer. Of course, you're going to say, well, how do you run it? Well, you need access to go onto the internet to download the operating system. And if you go to the well, I don't know if libraries allow you to download. Well, or you go to a buddy who can download it for you, okay?
You can't, unfortunately, there's a little bit of recursive logic here, because you can't use your Raspberry Pi to download the operating system because you need the operating.
Until you have an operating system.
Until you have the operating system, you can't download anything. So you download it using one of your friends or... As Hank said, I don't know if the library would let you do it, but some of the libraries do. The Science and Technology Library will. And also here in New York, I don't know about other communities, but the Parks Department runs a large number of recreation centers that have computers in them, and you can rent free rental, just sign up for one of their computers.
We have a number of computer clubs that we announce, and maybe one of the things to promote attendance is that they download it and make it available to anyone who comes, and you know, that's one way of getting people to show up at a meeting.
I think if some of these computer clubs would want to get involved
now,
in this, yes.
The operating system you're downloading is Linux. It's a
version of Linux.
It's a version of Debian Linux, and you put it in, and you just connect everything, in which I did.
But before you get to that, Hank, you've been talking exclusively now about this Model B,
mm-hmm.
but and you're saying this is a lot more expensive.
It's $35.
$35. Now, let's cut that price by a third, and you have the Model A.
Okay, the Model A is, instead of having 512 megabyte of memory, it has 256 megabyte of memory. It has one USB port, no Ethernet port, and that's it. And you know what? I think it's worth the $10.
You would definitely go the extra 10.
Well, the reason why they have the Model A is that if you're doing robotics and you want to build controllers and so on, you don't need the Ethernet port. One port is enough, the USB. And there's a general purpose I/O port that you can hook things onto it. So if you want to, I think it's really meant not for if you're experimenting, get the Model B. But if you have a product and you want to sell a product and you say, hey, I think I came up with a great invention of how to open and close refrigerator doors or something like that, or there's a lot of projects that you can use this for, and you want the least cost units, $25. And by the way, they're selling it at cost. They're selling this at cost.
And because this is not only a nonprofit open source group that's doing it, but they're also committed to what? What is the principle here?
Is really to make it available so people can tinker around with it and learn with it. And they got a hold of a major manufacturer to make it for them. They don't make it themselves.
I understand it's a well-known consumer electronics manufacturer.
Yes, and Sony is manufacturing 4,000 boards a day for them. So that at that rate, that's like 1 million boards in a year.
And as far as you know, how many users are now using it?
I think it's about 200,000 right now.
Already.
Now, what it is that I watched a video on how Sony does it, is that they make up 6 boards at a time, and then it's like a cookie cutter. After they put these, go through the wave soldering and inserting all the parts, then they cut it up into 6 separate boards. By the way, this unit is, when I say bare board, is like there's no case, there's no chassis with it. But you can buy a little plastic case for $7, $8.
Well, you said it fits inside a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, but when the wires are sticking out, you got to make holes for it too, okay?
Well, it's
yeah.
You know,
but I got to tell you.
A box of cigarettes.
Now, if you go onto YouTube, there's a 12-year-old girl that did it a little differently, how she made a case for the unit, okay?
What did she use?
her spare Lego parts.
Lego.
That's in other words, the Lego parts just happen to fit everything perfectly.
Well, the question I have, Hank, is that's all a hunk of hardware. And you told me that you download the operating system, which is a version of Debian. But suppose I wanted to actually do something with it. Like, is there a browser? Can I browse the internet?
Well, when you download this, or when you download and install the this version of Linux, there is a browser called Midori.
Ooh, that I like Midori. That's the melon liqueur. Have you had it, Stevie?
It's delicious.
It's the green, well, very cool, refreshing in the summer.
The browser's called Midori, and it has the capability of going out to the World Wide Web. By the way, let me talk about the hardware just a minute, all right? I know that I told a fellow club member that I was going to talk about the Raspberry Pi. First question he asked me was, yeah, you cheap little unit like that, you hook it up to the TV. What kind of resolution can you expect from it?
Well, obviously, from the expression on your face, you'd say, well, it's on a small box, it doesn't have a separate graphics chip, and it's going to run on a TV. It can't be much.
1080p.
True high definition.
And I could read, I mean, I have a Sony Bravo flat panel screen. I was shocked that, I mean, I could read all the tiny letters and numbers and... It was
when Hank
very,
says
very
that,
impressive.
Now, I got to tell you, when Hank says that, that's impressive because Hank really can't read.
I expected that. Welcome to the 21st century, though. And everything's getting smaller, but the quality is going up.
Not for that price.
When I got my very first computer, one of the things I wanted to do was to program myself. I learned how to program on my very first computer. But I needed a language. I think I started with S Basic, if I'm not mistaken.
And change your own tubes?
Yeah. No, you started with, if you had a IBM PC, you started with what they call just plain Basic. Basic A.
Okay. But I didn't have that one. I had...
M Basic.
I had...
Microsoft Basic was M Basic, right?
No, I had an 18...
GW Basic.
Right. GWiz Basic, we used to
call it.
Well,
GWiz Basic.
There is a programming language that comes with the operating system. It's Python.
Well, Python is like a scripting language in many ways.
Yeah, it's likened to Perl. By the way, it's not a compiler. It's interpretive. So you can key in your script, run it. It doesn't run. You can make changes on the fly.
Reference to XKCD, every geek's favorite web cartoon, dude, you're flying. Okay, I just thought I'd say that.
Oh, okay.
Thank you, David.
I'll accept that.
So you have that. I have to tell you, so one of the things I said to myself was, well, what if I want to do office work on it? Now, you know, where can I find a...
Isn't that stretching it a little bit, Hank, to do office work on a $25, $35 little breadboard?
But then I remember the last week's show. Last week's show... Michael talked about the Chromebook, and I said, yeah, that's Chromebook, but if I want to do office work, what do you do? He says, go out to the cloud and use the Google apps.
And did it work?
Yes.
So you were actually...
On the Raspberry Pi?
Yes. In other words,
The things you learn on WBAI.
And so, let's use the high end, okay? Like you had to go buy your stuff, all right? It's about $80. I can say that for $80 or less, you have a fully functional general purpose computer that can do office work as well as go out to the web, and you have a programming language to deal with. And if you want to, you can take it apart if you want to and use it for controlling different projects. If you were to go to the browser, and you say Raspberry space Pi PI space projects. There's a whole slew of different projects that people are working on. I mentioned one to my son. It's a baby monitor. There's one that you can hook up a camera to it. The kids have imagination and the things that they're coming up with.
I was about to say, if you give the kids, and the adults too for that matter, an interest in doing something and make the price reasonable, that almost not everybody, but almost everybody can come up with the basic buy-in for it, you're going to get some fascinating things. That's the whole world of open source and public domain. I know that when people were talking about open source for the last few years, they were talking about, you know, major projects. But way back in the beginning, back when David was a young man, they had things called S100s and breadboards and other primitive things. Even Hank remembers those days. And now we're back to that. Because last year, if a school kid wanted to get into a computer, he had to go to great lengths to come up with the many hundreds of dollars necessary to get started. Hank?
I just want to make a comment about the hardware, okay? We talked about 1080p. The software included in the operating system will run MPEG 4 video.
So you can build even that.
Yes. Now, I did talk about the fact that the power supply is your cell phone charger, which is 700 milliamps, but there's nothing to prevent you from putting more amperage capability on the power supply, and you do want to do it. And let me explain why. If you were to have a 0.7 or 700 milliamp power supply, 200 of it goes to the two USB ports. So if you run a keyboard and a mouse, you just use up 200. Then the CPU and the Ethernet takes up the other 500. But if I were to change the power supply, which I did, what you do is you put it on to, like say, I happen to have a tablet and it doesn't use that Mickey Mouse cell phone charger. It's real, you know, 5-volt charger, but the same connector happens to be 2 amps, 2 full amps, that's 2,000. What I'm able to do then is put a USB hub on it to have more USB devices. Guess what I can put on it? An external hard disk drive.
Or if you had the money, you could get a solid state one and save.
Well, if you're going to get a solid state one, then why bother with a Tinker Toy? Okay.
Okay. I have a couple.
Well, I can tell you why. And incidentally, I just was looking at it, and you can actually spend more. You can spend a lot more money get one that's already pre-built and pre-loaded and everything, but don't do it.
No, the fun is doing it, okay?
The fun of it is in doing it, and the value in it, you know, you will own it then. It will be your system that you built up from scratch, and you will have an appreciation for what went into it.
Well, more than that, this is how somebody who has not gotten a computer science degree can really learn what it's all about, how it works.
Now, when I talk about the Raspbian Linux version that you download, it's not the only operating system you can put on. You can put on other operating systems. Another one is called RISC OS. So if you want a pure RISC machine that you want to play around with, you want to get down.
RISC, of course, stands for Reduced Instruction Set
Computer. Computer, okay? Reduced Instruction Set Computer. And one day we'll talk about what is a RISC machine. I could do that, but...
Well, what I think is interesting about the RISC OS is it was developed commercially by Acorn, and they're letting the Raspberry Pi project use it free of charge.
Now, that would be Acorn Computing and not Acorn, the famous...
Acorn Computing in Cambridge, England.
Yes.
But Acorn used their RISC OS on a very interesting series of laptops, early on laptops that were very price competitive.
I don't understand the English humor in it, but the Linux version that they offer, which is a Debian version, they call it Raspbian Wheezy. David, do you know in Britain, what the word wheezy means?
Hey, I already spent all my geek cred by telling you you were flying when you were talking about Python.
Oh.
But, no, I don't know what it means by wheezy.
Okay. Well,
but I'll look it up for you. I'll Google that for you.
Yeah, would you Google wheezy, W-H-E-E-Z-Y, and tell us why it's called Raspbian Wheezy? Raspbian because it's a takeoff on Debian. Raspbian for Raspberry and Raspberry Debian becomes Raspbian. But Wheezy? I used to know a woman that we called Wheezy. Her name was Louisa, and they called her Wheezy. But that's another story.
By the way, I just want to tell you that I didn't have to do any soldering. I didn't have to do any wiring. In other words, you know, hook up, you know, bend wires and so on.
No.
It's just getting the components and just sticking this
plug
stuff
in.
The whole thing goes in 30 seconds, and you're up and running.
And you're talking about something between $35 and $80 tops.
$35 to $80, and wait, there's one other thing. My wife says, "Can I watch TV now?"
Oh, because you were using the TV set. but you can easily hook it up to an old monitor or an old TV.
Yeah, but you know what? RCA composite signal compared to a 1080p signal in terms of the viewing the characters, it's like night and day.
Oh, sure it is.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's interesting because, Hank, you gave me, with your notes here, instead of a schematic, what I would have to call is a block diagram.
Mm-hmm.
And the motherboard is just so simple to look at. You wonder that well, we'll talk about this later. Listen, I also...
You know what I might do? I might take all my notes and maybe we'll put it up on our website.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'm not going to put a time limit on it, but yes... Keep looking at our website and doing a search for a white paper on Raspberry Pi, and someday it'll be up there and you'll be able to download it. Or you know what, Hank? I got a better idea. It's not going to go up on the website. For folks who want to make a minor contribution to BAI, we'll email it to them. And I'll go into details later on how that can happen, not right now. We do want to talk with David for a little bit about his experience with the latest form of malware. And we do want to once again say that those of you who would like to support BAI, if for no other reason that the Personal Computer Show is on it, and by supporting us you can be assured of hearing from Stevie Deeby at least once a week. Who still has his breathing problem, but it's worth listening to.
Wait a minute. I thought they found a cure for asthma.
They did. You can find out what it is by calling 917-580-6021. Let me repeat that.
917-580-6021.
You like the way I repeated that? Let's do that again.
917-580-6021.
Whose voice is deeper and sexier, Stevie's or mine?
917-580-6021.
Or you can listen to somebody like Hank, who is hoarse from yelling too much.
No, my voice is not hoarse.
It's a pony.
let me. We're not taking the.
What about Dave? He didn't.
We're
say
not
it.
Taking the.
What if you're in California, Dave?
I'm going to keep my voice right up in its normal baritone register and just talk the way I normally do because I'm an unpretentious kind of a guy for a magician.
Well, you are a magician, and we're going to now use the magic of radio to bring you an interesting story. We're not taking a half-hour break because this is too important. I understand from very good sources that you got nailed.
I get nailed all the time. I do it intentionally.
That likely story.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, boy.
It's true. I'm the guy who has to answer for what does this look like, what does this do, what does that do. How do you think I find out?
What happened?
Tell us the honest truth.
I had gotten an email from somebody telling me that there was a new kind of ransomware making the rounds, and it had a web page that I could go to that was infected, which is no longer infected, and I'm not going to reveal who it was anyway, but it was a regular... It was SQL injected onto a regular above-board commercial web page that you've all been to. And I unhooked my protection and went to it, and I got infected with ransomware. Now, we've had the term ransomware for a long time. I mean, this has been a thing that's been happening for, I'd say, at least 8 or 9 years now. But just in the last month, we've seen a huge infestation of ransomware. Now, instead of saying, you're infected with a virus, pay us $50 to get rid of it, ransomware says, we have detected that you are browsing kiddie porn, or we have detected that you are browsing porn, and or we have detected that you are illegally using copyrighted materials. And the page that comes up pretends to be from the FBI. And there's been a bunch of versions of it, 25 or 30 different versions of it in the last month. The brand newest one, the one that showed up today, actually talks with audio and says, attention, you have been apprehended by the FBI. And it asks for you to pay a fine of $100 using a cash card that you can get at Walmart or Duane Reade or any of a number of places. It lists all the stores that you can go to.
What kind
to
get of a cash card? What kind of a cash card? Is that like a debit card? Or?
Yeah, it wants you to use internet exchangeable money that you can buy at Duane Reade and Walmart.
So after you paid the $100, then what?
Then it unhooks itself. But I didn't do that. Here's what you do. If you get infected with this, and millions of people have been infected with this, if you get infected or you know somebody who gets infected, there is one.